Well, I was looking at the lectionary, as I do every week, looking at the texts that we have and wondering what was there for us. And the thing that came back to me over and over again was the notion of being born again. And I thought, well, that's kind of silly. Why would we talk about that? I mean, in a congregation of people who have been in the faith for a long time, we all know what that is. And we do. I don't want to suggest that there's something that sort of is amiss with our understanding, but perhaps we can enrich it a bit. Because as I was thinking of born again, one of the things that made me wonder about is, why did Jesus choose that language? He could have described it in other ways. You know, you have to be transformed from the inside out. You have to have an encounter with God that changes you forever. I mean, these are similar kinds of ideas that accomplish the same thing. But he used, you have to be born again. And I wondered if there might be some things there for us to consider. And if perhaps they're not so much for us, then perhaps they're opportunities for us to speak truth and value into the lives of other people who are perhaps not quite as far along this road of faith. And as I was thinking about it, I realized that we're called to be born again because this is just as dramatic in some ways as being born the first time. Not as painful, I don't think, although for some people refer to being sort of dragged kicking and screaming into the kingdom for one reason or another, not very many of them, but even then it's not the same. But where it is similar is that when you're born into a new world that you don't know how it works. When babies are born, they go from a place that's warm and safe, where they don't really have to do anything at all, to a place where they have to breathe on their own, they have to learn how to eat. There are all of these things that are absolutely brand new. It's the same when we're born again. And whether we want to think this way or not, even if we grew up in the church before we had a meaningful encounter with God through the Holy Spirit and moved into this relationship, we're moving into something that we really don't know what we're doing. We have to learn. And I don't know about your experience, but I know in my experience there wasn't a lot of learning at the beginning. There was a lot of assumptions that I would know how all this worked, that I would know how to pray. And I suppose I did, but you know, babies know how to breathe, but they still choke now and then. There was this assumption that I would know how to, you know, read the Bible and get useful things out of it. But to push the analogy, I mean, babies are born knowing how to eat. I mean, they don't have to learn sort of from scratch. You just have to sort of provide nourishment in a way. But they still choke on that. They spit up and all kinds of things happen. When we move into this relationship with God that we say begins with this new birth, often there's this assumption that we're going to be born as adults. And it just doesn't work that way. Human babies aren't born as adults. There's a period of time when they grow and they develop. Even animal babies don't sort of appear as miniature adults. There's at least a little while they're learning how to walk and things. So why is it that we tend to think that the transition from darkness into light, the transformation from the inside out, is something that people will just figure out on their own? And I'm not saying that we all do this and that we haven't made efforts to encourage and to help those that have been around us that have become born again, and that we've discipled them as a language or a word that's often used. We've tried to help them along the way. But I wonder, what would it do to how we interact with new believers if we really looked at them as newborn babies instead of people who have just finally opened their eyes and seen what's always been there? Because honestly, that seems to be the way it often comes across. That when someone makes this move from non-belief into belief, it seems that it's easy for us to almost heave a sigh of relief and go, well, finally, now you know. Well, no, they might not know anything. I mean, I grew up in the church, as I've spoken of my journey often here, and I grew up in the church, and I'd heard all these things, and I'd gone to Sunday school, and I had believing parents, and I'd seen things in my home and all kinds of places. I had to learn all of those things for myself. I had to learn them in ways that worked for me. The process of maturing is, well, it's unique to each of us in the same way that growing up is unique to each of us. There's still some commonalities that we really need to pay attention to or we start running into difficulties. And I think the image of growing up as a human being is very helpful for us when we think of growing up as a spiritual being as well. If we were hurried along too fast in our physical development, things don't work out that well. One of the ones I find most interesting is for most of us with our children or the children of our friends and all that, when they're little, you know, they go from that sort of infant stage where they're just, you know, wherever you put them, they're always there when you come back. You know, it's kind of convenient at that time. But when they start moving around a little bit, we can't wait for them to walk. That seems to be, you know, crawling is good, rolling over is good, but like the thing that people always talk about, you know, they're walking yet. And so we want our kids to walk, and we look forward to that day, and we encourage them, and we help them. What we're now beginning to realize is that if children go from rolling over to walking, it's actually not that good. If they skip over that stage of crawling, it causes all kinds of problems down the road. And one of the most interesting ones is that it makes it very difficult to read. Children who skip over the crawling process almost always have difficulties learning how to read. And we're not entirely sure why. Like, nobody is. Neuroscientists aren't entirely sure why. They don't know if it has something to do with, and this is me putting together a bunch of things I've read, so I could be a little, you know, is it because crawling gets you used to sort of working in a very linear way that reading requires, whether you read from the left to the right as we do or from the right to the left as lots of other countries do? We're not sure. But kids that go from sitting to walking have challenges down the road. Well, if you move into faith or you're around someone who moves into faith, and because, and this isn't exactly what happened to me, but there are some similarities. You know, you're a little bit older, you've got life experience, you know things because you grew up in the church, and so you might get asked to do things that are a little premature to your development. It's hard to tell sometimes whether that'll be good or bad, but in my case, it wasn't terribly helpful. It didn't, you know, disrupt my ability to, you know, to push the analogy to read the life of the Spirit or anything. But I was leading Bible studies and things when I'd been sort of a full-fledged member of the faith for less than a year. And what it did for me, I realized long afterwards, is it made me devalue the length of time that you'd been a person of faith. And it's not that I learned a lot of head knowledge that I didn't have before, but what I did is the process of maturing gave me a sense of depth that I didn't have when I first started leading Bible studies. And I tended to have very superficial interpretations and was very black and white. And I don't think, when I think back, that I don't think I led anybody seriously astray, or I don't think I came up with things that were really nonsensical. But they certainly weren't as good as they could have been if someone taking the same information, the same material, but had more experience would have brought to it. And maybe for some of you, you feel the same way, that you were sort of catapulted past some of these developmental things. And you may think that because you started too early with whatever it might have been, that you're kind of stuck. Well, to go back to our physical analogy, my stepmom was a missionary teacher in Ecuador for a number of years and taught before and after, and she went into teaching college students, so she's been sort of teaching her entire life and still teaches me things when we just hang out together, so I guess she's a lifer. But when she was teaching elementary school, she sort of fell into this intuitively. She didn't, you know, read this in a study somewhere, but she found that teaching grade 2 students who were struggling with learning how to read, that if they played crawling games, they learned to read easier and better. Now, I don't know if that would work for an adult. I haven't heard that. But what I have heard subsequent to that, because obviously this is interesting to me, because, well, one of my siblings went from sitting to walking and found it very difficult to learn how to read. He got past it. He's a voracious reader at this point. He's got no problems with that. But you can take someone who leapt over this developmental stage, and you can address that subsequent to that. Like all of these things, it's best if they happen in the sequence it's best that they happen in. But what Norma found is that when she took some of her kids who were finding it difficult to learn how to read, and they crawled around on the floor and they played hide and seek and crawling and things, and they just got them doing that, their ability to read improved. Absolutely fascinating stuff. And it does apply to being born again. Many of us came to faith, doesn't matter when, old, young, we came to faith and we were just sort of tossed out there like a seed and we just grew. Was it Huckleberry Finn? I think somebody in the book asked me, like, how did you get to be this size? I don't know, I just growed. You know, we don't know how we get there, it just happens. And we're okay. It's not that I'm looking out and seeing people who are stunted in one way or another, or even looking at myself that way. But I look at some of these things that I had to go back and learn, that would have been better if I would have learned them then. And from that I take two things. And this is really sort of the two pieces that I want us to take from this wonderful story in John. Is that when we're around people who have become born again, let's not rush them. Let's not just let them sit there and do nothing. Let's not tell them that, you know, they don't have to do anything or that they'll be fine or whatever else, even if they will. But let's not rush them. I was rushed, not through anybody's malicious sense. They just saw I had some. What they saw wasn't exactly what I was. What they saw led them to think that I had a maturity that I didn't have, and it's just one of those things—an honest mistake on their part, an honest mistake on mine—that just delayed my ability to have a more nuanced, and far more importantly, a more gracious interpretation of Scripture. That when we were talking about things and what people thought, the chances of them just being flat out wrong really aren't that high. But I certainly thought they were then. The other thing that we can take from this is for us. And if there are parts of our spiritual lives that aren't exactly where we'd like them to be, it's very easy for us to beat ourselves up about that, to say, oh, I should have do this better, or I should do that better. Well, I think it's worth spending some time reviewing how we got to where we are now, with our eyes open to the possibility that maybe we started something a little quicker than we should have, than is best for us, and now we have to address that. People who learn how to read on their own, to stay with that, often have poor reading strategies. People who learn to type on their own often have poor typing strategies. They can type, they can get the job done, but they type with two fingers, or whatever it might be. And some people are very quick that way. But I've never met anyone who typed with two fingers, who put in the time and the effort, and it is effort, to learn how to type using all of their fingers, who doesn't say they're better off. It's hard work. It's hard to learn this stuff again. It's hard to go back and admit that you need to. But maybe, just maybe, if there are struggles in your spiritual life, maybe it's just not because you're not working hard enough. maybe you started something a little sooner than was best. And maybe if we take seriously the fact that we were born again, we can look at it through that lens. And this isn't, you know, I'm not laying out a cop-out here for you for some way for you to say, well, I guess it's not my fault, I don't have to care about it. What I am hoping that you'll take from this is the realization that some of the things you struggle with may, through just honest errors on both sides, have happened. And you can address them. In the same way that crawling around on the floor in grade 2 helps you learn to read. And for that matter, I think crawling around almost at any age, if you didn't do that when you were at the right age, helps your reading ability. Maybe there are some things we need to address from the perspective of, we started at the wrong time, let's fix this now. Instead of being disappointed in ourselves or being hard on ourselves, to just say, well, this is just what happened. Nobody intended it that way. Let's address it now. And I don't know what that might be for anyone, and I'm certainly not saying that everybody or anyone here has something like that. But if you do, think about what it would be like in a physical sense. When people learn to walk too fast and have struggles reading, we don't say there's something bad about them. We just say, this happened. Let's fix it. And we're around people who are growing in the faith, whether it's very soon after their transition into faith, very soon after being born again, or a long time. When people are learning things, let's not hurry them. Let's not leave them, but let's not be in such a rush. When I look at Jesus and his interaction with people, I never see him in a rush. I see him with a sense of urgency. I see him moving quickly sometimes, but I don't see him being rushed. We don't have to be in a rush to help the people around us mature in the faith. We just have to help them step along in the sequence that they should, in the time they should. And just like you don't have a crawling baby and make them walk, a walking baby, throw them on a bicycle, someone riding a bicycle, putting them behind the wheel. These things happen at the right time. And if we try and make them happen sooner than they should, it just seems to cause problems. So maybe what we can take from this reflection on being born again is, let's just be a little more patient with those around us and even with ourselves. Because being born again, just like being born, begins a lifetime of transition into who we're meant to be. It's not supposed to happen in a moment, and it won't. Amen.